Everybody, hear the calling, listen closely to our plea. It's time to rescue the living waters, save our rivers, lakes and seas. Tide to change are rising higher, waves of hope keep rolling in. Come on board, we sail together, save our waters, save our planet, let's begin. Let's begin. We'll be sailing the great adventure on a course straight and true into a future fraught with promise. A better world for me and you. Tides of change are rising higher. Waves of hope keep rolling in. So come on board. We sail together. Save our waters, save our planet. Let's begin. Let's begin. Let's get started. Let's get moving. Spend our treasure.
You are listening to Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 Chico, exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, and technological. A couple of years ago, we interviewed Kayleen Sisk, chief of the Winneman-Wintu tribe, about proposals by the Bureau of Reclamation to raise Shasta Dam by some 20 feet in the name of water storage. She described how this project would inundate tribal lands already largely under the lake surface and seriously interfere with river flows and protected trout, salmon, and other wildlife.
On the phone with us now from Sacramento is Ron Stork. He's Senior Policy Advisor for Friends of the River, based in Sacramento. He's a longtime environmental activist, and he'll update us on the Shasta Dam project and Friends of the Rivers and other organizations' effort to stop it. Welcome, Ron Stork.
It's good to be here.
Great. Mm-hmm.
For those who may not be very familiar with it, what's the plan to raise Shasta Dam? Who's behind this whole thing? And even what's the role of the Trump administration in the project?
So the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation has been on and off looking at raising Shasta Dam anywhere from 200 feet to 6.5 feet for several decades. They got a real start on this almost 20 years ago, and in 2015 produced a feasibility report and an environmental impact statement, final environmental impact statement, with a preferred alternative of raising the dam about 18.5 feet, and the reservoir level would go up about 20.5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So how is the Trump administration involved in all of this?
Senator Feinstein passed some legislation back in 2016 that essentially handed over a lot of the decisions to whether or not to build Shasta Dam or to raise it up to the Secretary of the Interior, who works for President Trump, and is currently the current secretary is a former counsel and lobbyist for Westlands Water District. So, needless to say, when the Trump administration officials managed to kind of gain some control over the Department of Interior, it takes a little while to do that. They rather quickly said that this project will be is a project that's going to be carried out under the legislation sponsored by Senator Feinstein, and we've made a determination that we can commence construction on the project using the authority of that statute. Now, they did that illegally. There are certain steps that they have to take, one of them being they have to actually have a signed on the dotted line cost sharing partner, and they don't have one. But, you know, the Trump administration isn't really all that careful about, you know,
rules and regulations.
Well, that's a terrible way to put it, yes.
Yeah, I wanted to editorialize briefly. When I was working on water issues in Nevada, we called the Bureau of Reclamation the Bureau of Acquisition. Everything they reclaim is, in fact, land or water that has been previously untouched.
Or touched by someone else.
Or touched by someone else.
Who owned it or had access to it. So what's the timetable for this? Is there a timetable now for how they want to go forward, and then we'll get to the lawsuit?
So obviously the administration has a website that is establishes their timetable. They're expecting to sign cost-sharing partners within a few months and let their first construction contract in December of this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, at least from their perspective, construction is imminent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Westlands also has a timetable, which they're also a bit behind on as well. And they are, they're essentially setting themselves up to be the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. I just call them Reclamation. Reclamation's partner in this project.
Why and how?
Well, the legislation that was carried by Senator Feinstein requires a number of things. One of them that Reclamation actually have a non-federal cost-sharing partner for projects carried out under that authority that's basically been handed to the secretary. And so Westlands and its partners are hoping that they can benefit from or experience the benefits of the projects, and they'll have to pony up some money. Obviously, they'll try and figure out ways to do as little as possible.
Right.
But they're theoretically on the hook, Westlands and its partners, unless they find some ways to get some more subsidies than they, which they're always doing, for 50% of the cost of the project.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, too, about water rights. I assume Westlands probably has enough water rights to command the additional water that, or control the additional water that would be coming down the river. Is that an accurate statement? Can they just walk in and buy what they need to satisfy their rights, their water rights?
They actually don't have any water rights. They have contracts with the Bureau of Reclamation.
Huh.
And so all of their water comes from Reclamation, which is one reason why they are so politically powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend a lot of time in making sure that they have access to the levers of power, including having one of their people as the actual Secretary of the Interior.
Right.
The Secretary, the Department of the Interior contains within it the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation.
I want to understand first. I want to go back in a second. Well, I'll go back and then I'll go forward. what would be the effect of raising the surface level by 20 feet? We talked about that a little bit at the as we were introducing the show about Kaleen Sisk's problems with this. Tell us what would happen if the dam were raised 20 feet, the reservoir.
Well, you can look at it from many different perspectives. The most obvious initial ones is that you're going to increase the size of the bathtub ring around Shasta Reservoir. That's the ring of killed vegetation that's exposed when the reservoir isn't tip-top full, which is usually the case.
We live on Lake Oroville, so we understand this very
exactly.
Well.
There are, of course, concerns that the Winnemen have raised about, you know, sites that are important to them culturally and spiritually. There are three rather rare salamander species that grow just around the shoreline of the reservoir, or live just around the shoreline of the reservoir. There's, you know, some attempts to get those species listed by the Center for Biological Diversity. There's a probably the most impressive new discovery of a big, beautiful plant in California in more than a half a century is the Shasta snow wreath, and it grows just around the shoreline of the reservoir.
So is this listed as an endangered species or not?
It is not.
It is not. Okay.
And no, nor are the Shasta salamander species yet.
Yet.
I don't expect that that circumstance will last for long, but it may require a change of administration to actually accomplish those things. There are also, of course, implications to flows downstream that have implications to the success of riparian forests downstream, of spawning beds for salmon. So there's, you know, there's kind of the nature thing and the aesthetics thing. And, of course, you know, it's a big project. We've seen estimates in documents that we've gotten from Westlands and San Luis and Delta Mendota Water Authority that suggest that the costs are currently expected to be about $2 billion. And that, you know, involves, you know, relocations and reconstructions of roads and railroads, bridges and roadway bridges and marinas and other recreation facilities around the reservoir. So, you know, it's a big project. It's an expensive project. It, interestingly enough, isn't expected to deliver very much water. But, you know, it has its share of environmental and other impacts that, you know, concern a great many Californians. And most importantly, 30 years ago, the legislature and the governor of California, back in 1989, protected this river. It's illegal to build this project, and it has been for 30 years.
Let's jump to the lawsuit, Ron Stork.
Can I just ask before that?
Sure.
Is this, are you asking why it's illegal when you talk about the lawsuit?
Because I think that'll come out.
That'll come out. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
I want to understand.
Just
that
to explain, better. Friends of the River, other environmental groups, and Attorney General Becerra have filed two lawsuits, as I understand it, against Westlands, and those are in court at the moment, kind of an exciting and frustrating week. Perhaps you could tell us first, what are the lawsuits all about? What are the grounds for suing? And then second, where does the case stand at the moment?
There are three lawsuits, one by the California Attorney General and two by groups of environmental groups.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The decision was made last week to retain venue over opposition from Westlands Water District in Shasta County Superior Court. So that decision was made last week.
And Westlands wanted to move the venue to Fresno, their home court.
Of course.
Yeah.
Not only did we think for legal reasons, but also just because, you know, the impacts are going to be felt most obviously first in Shasta County.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we think a lot more people care about what happens to that part of this world more than they would in Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, those lawsuits against Westlands are going to stay in Shasta County. The Attorney General asked for a preliminary injunction to stop Westlands from doing an environmental impact report. They've started that process. They started that process back in December. And because of some rather interesting and unusual features of the legislature statute, the Attorney General thought that was a very warranted thing. There was a hearing yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Shasta County Superior Court. It was with a visiting judge, you know, a retired judge who was just kind of a temporary there, and he made a decision to delay making a decision until the next day or two.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that he's made some kind of decision, but I haven't seen it, nor have I had that confirmed. But, you know, we can expect some decision on the Attorney General's request to basically tell Westlands, stop. Don't do this anymore until we go to trial. Trial is scheduled in April. Of course, and I remind you, Reclamation wants to begin construction in December of this year.
Right.
And the trial is scheduled in April of next year.
Yeah. No, that's not going to work. So I still want to understand a little bit better the grounds for the lawsuit. What is the law that Becerra is using? The protection of the river?
This is somewhat personal with me because I was actually a staff member at Friends of the River back 30 years ago and helped work on this bill.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't the principal person who worked on it, but I certainly was around and consulting.
Mm-hmm.
So the legislature, Byron Scher, then assemblyman, supported, especially by Friends of the River and California Trout, pushed some legislation to first study the river as a potential addition to the California Wild and Scenic River System.
Mm.
And in 1989, and that study reported favorably on that idea, and in 1989, the legislature, in its infinite wisdom, adopted some compromise legislation that specifically applied to the McLeod River only, and that's the some of that specific language is where Westlands finds itself being tripped up. At least we hope it finds itself being tripped up. And that legislation, you know, the California Wild and Scenic Rivers Act, like the National Wild and Scenic River Act, does a number of things. The California Act, most specifically, is You know, you can't put a reservoir on a California wild and scenic river.
Right, yeah.
Not too hard to figure out.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's kind of what those statutes do. In this case, it went even further. That is, reclamation, it's illegal under state law for reclamation to put a reservoir upstream of the McLeod River Bridge, as in build a dam that puts a reservoir upstream of the McLeod River Bridge,
mm-hmm.
which is in the very upper end, actually, of the existing reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
But agencies of the state, which include, say, the Department of Water Resources or the Department of Fish and Wildlife,
mm-hmm.
or Westlands Water District, are specifically prohibited from assisting and cooperating in the planning and construction of any project that could have an adverse effect on the free-flowing McLeod River or its wild trout fishery. And who are they prohibited from cooperating with? Other agencies of the state, local governments, and the federal government.
Seems pretty clear.
Yeah.
It really does seem pretty clear.
It does seem clear. And then the interesting thing is that the federal law that Senator Feinstein passed also requires that people who want to move forward, as in reclamation, has to comply with environmental laws,
mm-hmm.
and its existing obligations to follow state law are not changed, and they currently have existing obligations
mm-hmm.
to follow state law. So reclamation is proposing to violate federal law, move and state law, and move forward with this project, and Westlands is, they would say, entertaining the idea
mm-hmm.
of assisting and cooperating with reclamation. But
that sounds cynical.
We argue that you're the lead agency doing an environmental impact report. If that's not assisting and cooperating in the planning of this project, we don't know what is.
I was interested to read that Westlands also has purchased 3,000 acres along the McLeod River, so they must have been fairly confident that they were going to be able to proceed with this.
Yes, they've been, they purchased the Balibaca Club in 2007. Their financial statements are quite clear on why they purchased it. And it's not just because they like to go fishing,
mm-hmm.
But it's because they want to facilitate the construction of the Shasta Dam raise and the expansion of the reservoir.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Doesn't Fish and Wildlife have to weigh in on this before this project can go forward?
Theoretically, the state is required to give permits under various state and federal laws for reclamation to move forward.
Army Corps of Engineers?
They are not among the list that reclamation believes they need to get permits from, but I think that's probably an error.
Mm-hmm.
However, think about it. Do you think the Trump administration is going to not give permits to reclamation to do this project?
Mm-hmm. Then that's where the courts need to step in. I mean, it just is.
That would be one place. Another, mm-hmm. but you asked about state agencies.
Right, state agencies, right.
Well, state agencies are forbidden by law to issue permits, as I've just explained.
But don't they have to?
They have to issue permits. And we believe that reclamation is essentially going to say, we don't need your stinking permits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's your best guess about what's going to happen with the judge's ruling and what happens after that ruling?
Well, I was taught a long time ago never to speculate on
I know.
What a judge is going to say. Yeah. So I'm not going to do that. That's a bad idea. But we'll know soon enough.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And remember, this is just for a preliminary injunction. Mm-hmm. This is not for actions, or, you know, for the main trial on this narrow case of what Westlands is doing. There, of course, remain issues that many of us believe are essentially threatened illegal actions by the Trump administration. So this is going to be messy. This is going to be dramatic. And I know a lot of us, it would really hurt us. I mean, our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If we're going to lose any more of the McLeod.
Mm-hmm.
Something that, you know, a lot of us worked to protect 30 years ago and has been quietly, you know, protected and a beautiful place and God's green earth for, you know, as a result of this law. So we don't want to see the California Wild and Scenic Rivers Act disrespected. We don't want to see the McLeod River disrespected. We don't want to see the rule of law disrespected. And, you know, some of us have some pretty profound attachments to, you know, the critters and the fish and the and the flowers around this place.
How can people continue to follow your work? I did fail to jot down the Friends of the River website. Could you give that to us, please?
We definitely do have a website, and which is www.friendsoftheriver.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Shasta page under our work. And then you can go, you know, kind of follow it down. There's Shasta. And that page, unlike many of our other pages, is kept very well up to date, including the latest that we've...
I'll give a...
from yesterday.
A pitch here, too. I had good luck just Googling Shasta Dam trial. The Reading Searchlight is covering it closely and issuing news articles pretty quickly after the judge makes statements. So that's another good place to go.
And yeah, the reporter is showing up to all the events and writes. He's not missing much.
No, he's a good writer and, very thoughtful columns. We have to go.
We have fact sheet on our website that is also kept up to speed. So if you want to kind of take it's a referenced fact sheet. It's not a little thing. It's like 12 pages long.
Yes.
But, you know, if you want to know this issue in some degree of depth with all the references, it's provided there for you and the public, and for that matter, the United States of America, if they care to want to read that.
Thank you, Ron Stork, for your work, the work of the organization. We'll be eager to find out what happens tomorrow, and we'll share that information with our listeners again next week as a follow-up. Thank you, Ron, for being with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Thanks. Good luck.